Welcome to Career Tools. This week, yes, praise your colleagues. The questions discussed answers are, should I praise my colleagues? Why should I praise my colleagues? And how should I praise my colleagues?
Folks, you may not know it, but 2021 is likely to turn out to be a year with a great deal of career mobility. People will be moving around. Companies will change, restructurings will happen, even after last year. And my recommendation for those of you who don't already have one is to get a Manager Tools license. Because it's our 15th year, and because of COVID, we bundled our interviewing series in with the license. And so now, for $200 for a year, you get access to all of our license materials, which are extensive, but then you also get, essentially for free, the $150 interviewing series. There is no way I would send anyone I know into an interview without prepping with the interviewing series. It's what I used to prepare my kids when they interviewed, when my friends' kids are interviewing for jobs. It's what I give them and I tell them to do. So get a license, come to the website, manager-tools.com, get a license, and it'll include the interviewing series, and you'll be prepared for a year of further disruption.
Sarah, when you're presenting to managers, you have to remind them that 99% of what is done by their team is actually good work.
Yeah, they barely ever believe me.
No, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the work we do is, it meets the standard of what, you know, it achieves the objective of whatever we've been set. Now, if you're a manager, maybe it wasn't quite done the way you would have done it, but it's usually done. Yeah. And that's actually true for everybody in the organization. 99% of what we're doing all the time is good work.
Absolutely.
And we've said 1,000 times on Career Tools Casts that results and relationships are the building blocks of career success. And one of the ways to build a relationship with someone is to acknowledge when they're doing good work, even if you're not their boss or it's not formal, just actually talk to people about what they did and that you were impressed by it. Right. So in this class, we're going to talk more about that, when and what to say and so on.
Yes, absolutely. Our outline includes three items today, talking first about building your relationships, then choosing your communication method, and then talking a little bit about what it is that you want to say. So starting then with building your relationships. That is, noticing and acknowledging the work that other individuals are doing is a relationship-building event. I'm sure all the listeners here know we talk about it quite often. We talk about Stephen Covey's concept of the emotional bank account, right? That analogy. Every time we notice another person on our team doing good work and we say something about it, whether that be to them or to their manager, to whomever, we're making investments. We're putting dollars into our emotional bank account.
And to be clear, noticing and saying something. Like, noticing doesn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to say that you noticed.
Good point. You do have to say that you noticed. And the reason we do it is because we know there's most certainly going to be a day where we have a negative interaction with this person, right? And because of that, it's imperative that we make investments so that we can be afforded the grace one day of having a full emotional bank account as insurance for our small withdrawal. Conflict happens.
Of course it does.
This affords forgiveness. It's a good idea.
Exactly. And if you're not the kind of person who goes around and naturally comments positively on other people's work, you've probably got a list of reasons why this is a bad idea. So we're going to get over your objections now. We're going to get them out of the way before we tell you how to do this. Because if you're thinking, I'm not going to do this because reason X, Y, and Z, then there's no point in telling you how. So we'll start there. So these were the ones that came to my mind. First, it's their job. So why would you compliment someone on doing their job? But The question the question that comes off in my mind, that's true. Like, it's just their job. But have you noticed how badly some people do their jobs?
Yeah.
And I know, right? I just said 99% of the work is good. But, you know, there's some people that are doing their job really badly. Meeting a minimum standard might be a low bar, but it's, right, you know, a bar that not everybody is crossing. And whenever I think about this, I always think about hotel receptionists, because I find that so annoying. You go in, you've got a reservation, you give them the credit card and your driver's license, and then you stand there for 15 minutes where they tap on the computer. I have no idea what it takes.
I don't know.
15 minutes.
I don't know. I told the internet all of this information. That's what comes to my mind. Like, the internet knows
everything about me. Like, why is this taking so long? And sometimes the receptionist is super pleasant and they say, I'm just going to find your room, or I need to take down these details. Or they say, while I'm doing this, you know, breakfast is the hit then, and you've got an hour until dinner finishes, so don't miss it, you know. And you feel like they used that time productively. They told you useful information. They were, you know, kind of attuned to like how tired you looked or how happy you looked because you were at Disney or something.
Yeah.
And then other times there's someone who like doesn't speak to you and they just look sullen and they type a lot and they don't give you any information. And an hour later you come down thinking, right, I'll have dinner and find the restaurant closed because they never told you that. And so both of them meet the minimum standard for the job. They checked you into the hotel.
You have a room. Mm-hmm.
But there's one person you'd rather see again than the other. So they're doing their job. That doesn't mean you can't compliment someone on doing it well as opposed to just doing the job.
Exactly. Now, another common one that we come across very often is it's not perfect. There's always a person that comes to one of our conferences, effective manager, effective communicator, effective hiring manager, who scores an 8 or a 9 out of 10 with the comments that I just never give 10s. Everyone can improve. Now, I understand what you're saying. The logic is sound. Everyone can improve. I can guarantee you that no one will want to improve if all you do is tell them they somehow fell short of some mythical standard that may not even necessarily be achievable, let alone attainable, because it's certainly not something that you even think it necessarily exists in your mind. If only to say, if my effort is never going to be good enough, why try? That is, if I'm going to get the same results when I put forth all of my effort, and I will have that same result when I put forth 90% of my effort or 80% of my effort, then what is there in it for me to give all of my effort? If you want to encourage people to keep trying, then what to do instead is acknowledge what they are doing well. Because snarky comments or making people feel like they're never achieving this unreasonable standard does not set them up for wanting to achieve more.
And to be clear, Sarah is a 10 every time she presents.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you.
None of this is what goes on in Sarah's head. She always gives 100%. But the fact that people give 8 and 9s is absolutely true because I've seen it. And that logic just, it breaks apart the moment you say, okay, so what would be better? And,
right.
And then there's nothing there, right? There's no definition of what could have been changed or what could have been better. It's like this mythical, it's not perfect, but there's no definition of perfect. So it's just not helpful.
You're right. It's not helpful. And it's so much more impactful when this is a person that you work with day in and day out.
Right.
As well, right? Like, this is a one-time encounter in this example or in this case. But when you're working with that person day in and day out, you can't assume that it won't wear on them over time.
Yeah.
Well, nothing I do is good enough.
And I'd be done.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is I see problems, or I only see problems.
I only see problems. You're a human. Congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason we see problems is because we are pattern-seeking creatures. Mm-hmm. So humans look for patterns, which is why there's no such thing as a random number if you do it yourself, because humans can't even generate random numbers. We see the aberrations. We see what's wrong, because that is what keeps us safe. So if you imagine you're out on the tundra and there's all these kind of little hills and trees and bushes, and your brain just goes tree, 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 bush, tree, tree, hill, tree, lion. And it shouts when it sees the lion, because that's the one that's dangerous to you. And the same thing happens in our 20th century world when you see, you know, email, 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 email problem. And the problem shouts at you. And it's useful, but it's also not helpful in the realm of relationships.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if all you ever tell people about is problems, you soon won't have anyone to tell, because nobody wants to hear it.
No one wants to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing about our little lizard brain is that it can be tricked. And the way we trick it is we tell it what to look for. So instead of saying, hey, look for lions, we say, look for good things. So look for, I don't know, a lake. You know, look for the email that has something positive in it. And like when you buy a new car, you see that car everywhere on the road because your brain is set. You told your brain to look for that car. Mm-hmm. In the same way, if you tell your brain to look for good things, it'll find them. I did a thing for a while where I had a challenge of writing a thank you card every day. And it's amazing. If you tell yourself, I have to write a thank you card to someone that I meet in my day every day, you find someone.
Huh. I think I might try that.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's amazing how many good things are going on around you. You just have to be looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, and we said 99% of what's going on in your company is good, because otherwise you'd be filing for bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You would be looking for a different job. It's not going to make it.
Right. You know, when you start looking for positives, you will be amazed at how many there are.
Mm-hmm. Now, all that to say, if you think it's your job to correct other people or to help them identify their weaknesses, you're wrong. When you point out blemishes and flaws in everything others are trying to share with you, you're not seen as helpful. You're seen as the negative naysayer who pokes a hole in all of the theories. Every time you say something about a problem, you're further reducing your ability to persuade people to your point of view. They assume that you're just going to come up with a negative thing. I mean, it's almost like you're looking for it. And one day, it might be really important, that thing that you notice, right? Someday, the thing that you find might be super imperative. The problem is that being that person who always contributes with nothing but negatives and nothing but flaws causes a situation where eventually no one will listen, right? It's the boy who cried wolf. It's the, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. You must be blowing this out of proportion. No, it'll be fine, right? We'd rather you be seen as that person that points out the flaws that are necessary and makes things more robust and better than eventually gets lost in the noise.
Yeah, if you always say every little thing, then when it's a big thing, nobody will listen. Mm-hmm. And we don't often encourage you to think about relationships in work as friendships. They're not friendships, they're professional relationships. But there's one way we can demonstrate this if we think about a friendship group. If you think about a person in your group of friends who, you know, constantly picks on the negative. So they come to your house and they tell you, you know, they show you the bit of fence that you missed when you were painting, or they point out the burnt bit on the barbecue, or they, you know, look at the cake and that you've lovingly made and mm-hmm. point out the spelling error on the icing. That person soon isn't invited to any of the groups. You know, there's a barbecue and that person's not invited. There's a, you know, Scrabble night, that person's not invited.
Right. Oh, because, no.
Because nobody wants someone who picks all the time around. Now, the downside of being at work is people can't stop inviting you to things.
That's accurate.
They can't stop being friends with you, because because they're not friends, right? And you're at work and you're on a team and all that stuff. So it is quite possible that you are that person, but you can't tell because nobody's leaving you, you know? So just if you are that person who always sees the negative, and it's a useful skill, you know? If there's a project and you can see there's a failure point, that's a good thing. The bad thing is if it's 100% of the time and there's no difference between the thing that is 1% wrong and the thing that's 100% wrong, then you could be that person and not know it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This also reminds me, actually, Wendy, of our podcast, And Not But.
Yes.
Can also help with that. Rather than people explain their idea, but this, coming across as you're just, again, poking holes in the theory. Yes, and what if we did this? I think that would help, right? Adding to an idea rather than crushing theirs.
Right. Yes. And we can mitigate this other thing that I've just thought of by doing Y.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Next up is our fourth reason for not encouraging your peers. That is because it's sycophantic. That is, sometimes we hear people say, well, I don't want to be disingenuously flattering people and buttering them up, blowing smoke, those ideas. Now, guys, we're not telling you to go so far as to be considered to be just that person who's just schmoozing, right? Trying to sell it. There's a really huge difference between saying to somebody on your team, you know what, that's an excellent point about the Q&A standards, Bill. Good thinking. Is very different to being overly flattery in a disingenuous way and seen as schmoozy.
It reminds me of DISC when we say to people, adapt your style to the other person's style. And they're like, yeah, but I'm going to be like mirroring them or copying them. No, that's not how far we want you to go.
Right.
And you probably can't get there.
You probably can't get there. We love you, but you probably can't.
If your fear is that you're going to be seen as sycophantic, then you're almost certainly so far away from that that you're not even in any danger.
Not at all.
Folks, we don't tell you very often, but we have two books separate from the podcasts. One is called The Effective Manager, and one is called The Effective Hiring Manager. I'm starting to succumb to pressure that the next book I have to write is How to Be Interviewed, since we've already written Effective Hiring Manager, which teaches you in detail how to interview. I'd certainly want to know, if I was interviewing, what effective hiring managers do, which is what the book lays out. And I'd certainly want to know, if I wanted to be a manager, what it takes to be an effective manager. And hopefully you're reading. Reading is the fastest, most efficient way to learn and grow as a professional. Certainly podcasts are great. We happen to think so, but books are good too. Check them out on Amazon or at your local bookstore.
So now we've hopefully convinced people that all of the reasons for not doing this are bad ones. And so now they're convinced that we are going to praise our colleagues. We can talk about how. So first of all, we're going to talk about choosing your communication method. I was watching one of the virtual conferences videos to get some information. And Kate was saying, I'm looking at my computer now, and she counted the number of ways she could communicate with another person in the team on her computer that was running, and she got to 7 really quickly. So there's a million ways that you can communicate.
Oh, million.
But the one that is easiest and the one you'll probably miss is talk to them.
Yeah.
Face to face, over Zoom, on the phone, whatever gets your voice to their ears. Mm-hmm. Like, why make it harder than it has to be?
Right. Exactly.
Just talk to a person. And, you know, the people are always asking, what should we do when, you know, I'm on a Zoom call and I'm like 4 minutes early and nobody's there, or there's just this one guy here. Yeah, that awkward silence. Like, this is a good opportunity to have that conversation while you're waiting. Or, you know, if there's a break and you and that person are the only people in the room, or that, you know, you could get to a corner where nobody could overhear you if you don't want to be overheard. You know, before or after meetings, when you see someone in line in the cafeteria, in the real world again, there's all sorts of moments when you're able to have, and we're talking about 30 seconds or less, of conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to Wendy's point only a moment ago, that's if you don't want to be overheard. But if you know that this is the type of person who likes public praise, then you could say nice things about them to other people when they're there. Now, be careful, because it's about half of the world's population absolutely hates when you compliment them in front of others. But we're speaking here specifically in terms of DISC to you're wanting to give a colleague praise and they are an I or an S, right? The people who praise you openly are the people that want to be praised openly. So you could very well talking to somebody else in a room saying, oh my goodness, I should tell you, Wendy did this thing the other day. It was so awesome. Mm-hmm. Right? And just having that conversation, you could also do that. Or along the vein of looping others in, sending an email to them, right? And copying your boss, copying their boss, getting...
Yeah, because what's better than praise? Yeah. Praise your boss knows
praise
about.
Your boss knows about. Exactly. That's better, right? Yeah. The problem with email is that it's used for everything. Like doing it verbally, right? Doing it, calling them. That is more impactful because it's one of those things that doesn't happen as often, right? So it stands out as a more important event. Whereas email, it blends into the noise. There's so much of that. It's not necessarily as impactful like a face-to-face or verbal interaction is. So it could be missed. So that's the risks with email.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is talk to your boss or their boss directly. So bring it up in an 03 or in another one of those awkward silence moments.
Uh-huh.
You know, bosses are generally terrified that their bosses, that their directs are doing something like awful the moment their back is turned. And even all the bosses that say, no, I trust my people, also have an undercurrent of, I trust them, really hope that they're earning that trust. And so telling your boss or their boss, hey, this person's doing a good job. It isn't, you pay into the emotional bank account of that person when they find out you said it to their boss and the boss. It's like a double win.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I tend to do this a lot in that I probably, like most of the listeners here, many of the listeners, I'm high D. I don't think in the lead up, oh, I should CC this person's boss in this conversation. So one of the things I do is if I have a really positive interaction with somebody after the fact, after I'm reading, I'm like, oh, that was so good. Thank you so much for getting that done. I'll reply and say that, but then I'll also after that forward it to their manager and say, I just wanted to point out what a great job that Tracy did on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated her help.
Yeah, it's perfect. And then everybody's like, you're just spreading the love all over the place.
Exactly.
Which is awesome. Okay, so now we've got some examples of what to say. And some of these are really, really simple. And I have noticed people doing it in meetings. So even if somebody says, we made $50,000 this week on whatever, then all you need to say is hurrah or good job or excellent. You know, like that one positive word after someone says something. So we're not even talking about how long, like, is it a whole second to say the word excellent? So you don't need to have a whole bunch of amazing words. Like sometimes people think if you're going to say thank you to someone or you're going to praise them, then you have to be florid or articulate, you know, put all these fancy words together. You don't. All you need to say is excellent or well done or thank you. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So the first one we have is, hey, that was good. So you walk out of a presentation, somebody does a presentation in your team. And as you walk out the door, you say, hey, that was good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not sycophantic. It's not, you know, maybe presentations is their job. But if it was good, then say so.
Exactly. Or just saying to them after the presentation, I really like the point you made about the dairy farmers. That was smart. I hadn't even thought of that. Just simple.
Yeah. I like this one because I do it a lot. Oh, I'm going to steal that. Or I'm going to borrow your wording. Or I'm going to copy the way you did it because it's better than the way I did it. Any time that you see someone doing something that you do that you can use, then tell them, say, hey, I'm gonna steal that. I could do it your way and it would be faster for me. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Or saying, thank you for making the math easy to understand. It's so complex. You really made it easy, right?
Yeah. Somebody who's answering questions, you could say, oh, nice job answering the tough questions, you know, or, oh gosh, that person was really throwing zingers and you were awesome. Or, wow, gave you the third degree and you stood up to it. I'm impressed.
Right? You really avoided conflict masterfully there. Nice work. Or just saying, back to the when they can overhear it potentially, oh, Maggie's awesome. She remembers everything.
Which is true, Maggie.
Which
does.
Is true, Maggie doesn't remember. Well,
Alex is always helpful, always. And you know, if somebody says, "What's it like working with Alex?" I say, "Alex is always helpful," and that's always true helpful. Too. Yeah. Paul finds the flaws in my ideas, and they're always better because of it. Like, if I have a process and I need someone to think through it logically and find the bits I've forgotten, I ask Paul, and he's great at that.
Right, poke holes in this, would you? Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
We're saying, oh, you got a crazy idea? Kate's always up for listening to crazy ideas. Right? Exactly.
So they're not even, I'm thinking about what as we're doing this, they're not even formal, you know, performance review type attributes. No. No, nobody has on their performance review, listen to your teammates' crazy ideas.
No. Right? Other duties as required.
Yeah, it is something about working in a team that it's nice to have someone who will listen to something crazy, or it's nice to have someone who can always see the flaw in your logic. It's nice to have someone who you know will help, even if it's, you know, inconvenient or not their job, but they'll give it a go. They're all things that make it easier to work together rather than, you know, formal communication or team building type activities, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right in that working together as a group can be hard enough. So something as simple as saying, oh, yeah, go to Tracy. She's so patient. Right? Is helpful.
Yeah. Sarah's great at cutting to the heart of the matter. It's also true. Sarah is, as she just said, she's a high D.
Yes.
If you want the bottom line of anything, ask Sarah. Cassie learns so fast. I never have to tell her something twice. You know, when somebody first starts, I only think of this because Cassie's only been with us a year and she does learn super fast.
Super fast.
But in the beginning, when I had my one-on-one with Mark, and Cassie works for Sarah and Sarah works for Mark. So, and I work directly for Mark. So in theory, Cassie has nothing to do with me, but I worked with her a lot. And I would start my O3 with, hey, this is what Cassie and I have been doing. And this is what I thought. Like, I think she's really catching on, or I think she's got a grip of this, or I think she's a little worried about this. like every one-on-one, I started that way for a little while so that she heard positive things from her boss's boss. And also, you know, a little bit of like, let's make sure the organization knows how she's doing so that we can support her. But also, you know, when I say that, let the organization know so we can support her, that's all the things that are going wrong. Like, she hasn't quite got the hang of, or she didn't get the first time, or she seems to be worried about. Whereas saying the positives, like remembering to say those positives and that let that get back to her, having both was really helpful, I think.
Absolutely. All right, guys. All this to say that work is not a zero-sum game. Praising somebody else does not reduce the amount of praise that now exists in the environment that could make its way to you or to anybody else. Praise is something that makes everyone feel good, and it costs us nothing. You can give it out all day long, and the more you give, the more you will receive. So why not praise your colleagues?
It's very true. And as we got to the end there, if you want to give a colleague feedback, there is a peer feedback model, and praise and feedback are two different things. So if you're thinking of that, go back to the peer feedback model and listen to that one too, if you want to be more helpful to your colleagues, in inverted commas. If you're thinking, oh, I want to tell my colleagues what they could do better, go back to the peer feedback model before you do that, because we don't want you to mix these two together.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Perfect. Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.